This is Amy Hall. I'm here with Greg Kokel, and you're listening to Stand to Reason's hashtag STRask podcast. And this is the podcast where you send in your questions on Twitter with the hashtag STRask, and then we take those questions, we put them in a list, and then I go through them every week, and I pick some out, and then we talk about them, and then you listen, and you get your question answered.
What a country.
Let's start off with a question from Adam. I was recently watching
some... It's good that we start out with Adam. Appropriate. Right.
I was recently watching some men's U.S. soccer highlights against Costa Rica and saw that they've used a rainbow color pattern on the numbers on the back. How should a professional Christian athlete think about wearing pride uniforms or jerseys?
Well, the fact is, it's not just professional athletes, but a whole host of people now that confront something like this. And the second fact is that they may not have any choice whatsoever about it. I talked recently to a black man, Christian guy, whose daughter is a surgeon. Okay, she's a surgeon. And on her professional correspondence, she is obliged to put her preferred pronouns under her name, to list them. And I asked, how could they do that? And he said, because it's a requirement for the job. And if she doesn't fulfill her job requirements, she can be fired. How do you fire a surgeon because she doesn't put underneath her name she and her as preferred pronouns? But they can. And so many Christians are going to be forced into circumstances where they would be doing something that would be otherwise inappropriate for them to do because their jobs require it. Now, I think that there's a line to be drawn here at some point, but I don't think it's at preferred pronouns or rainbow colors on the back of your jersey. This is a judgment call. I think if doctors are forced to do abortions, if that's the pressure, they have to say no. They cannot take, even the law says that you cannot take the life of another human being if you are being forced by an enemy to do so. You can break all kinds of laws if you are threatened with lethal force. But the one thing that you cannot do when you're threatened with lethal force is to kill another human being. Okay? So even our law acknowledges this kind of balancing act that we have to do under extreme circumstances when we are under coercion. And I think something like that applies here. So I don't even know in a case of a jersey where it makes any sense to even raise an objection, because the objection is not going to be heard, and all it's going to do is sully, in a certain sense, the Christian's witness. It'll simply be seen as small-mindedness. Okay, now I'm thinking of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And when Bonhoeffer drew the line at the Arian paragraph, which basically said you cannot have Jews in any position of leadership in any organization. Now, of course, Bonhoeffer's view was, according to God, in the church there's no Jew nor Greek. And he had completed Jews or Jewish Christians, if you will, that were part of his congregation. And he was not going to say they couldn't be elders or leaders in the church just because the Third Reich made this demand. That was too far. Okay, and he drew the line there. All right. But so there are lines to be drawn with these kinds of demands. There are also consequences for the behaviors. And so the issue has to be weighty enough to match the consequences, so to speak. And so if somebody doesn't use preferred pronouns, doesn't list them, and I've offered a way that people can address that, you can just say, I have no preferred pronoun. I have a sex. I'm male, for example. That's what you could put down. And I frankly, I don't know what the principal complaint could be from an employer, because the employer is asking for your preferred way of being addressed. And what you prefer to be addressed as is as your sex, okay? Not just because you're cisgendered, he for a male. But you're not participating in that system when you say that. And that, of course, may offend an employer, and there's going to be pushback. But at least there's some attempts we can make not to be forced to play along. These are illicit demands on people. But when they make a jersey, they make a jersey, you know. And not all rainbows are pro-gay, although it's almost become ubiquitous that rainbows are pro-gay. The more ubiquitous use of rainbows indicate in almost every case a pro-gay sentiment. So I think and those kinds of things that we just described, I wouldn't risk livelihood and the well-being of my family through my ability to provide for them for a pronoun. I would push back as far and as hard as I could, and I would make the employer justify, why can't I as an individual? It's one thing I not wear the jersey. Everybody's wearing the jersey, and this is our jersey. It's the team jersey. But why can't I as an individual just simply say, I do not have a preferred pronoun? That's my preference, if you will. I have no preferred pronoun. I have a sex. This is the way I personally look at it, which is what they're asking them to do. How do you look at it? Now, they're framing the request according to a particular politically correct view that they want you to play along with, and they will coerce you if they can to adopt, using their power illicitly, which is another thing that could be pointed out. Why do you think it's appropriate to use your power to cause me to do something that is against my conscience? Okay. Now, if somebody says, well, you're going to hurt other people's feelings if you don't. All right, great. How broad is that rule about not hurting people's feelings? Is there a rule against swearing in the workplace? Because that bothers a lot of Christians, especially when they use the word Jesus Christ or God in these swear words. How about that? Well, that just goes to show that it's not about hurting feelings. It's about enforcing a politically correct view. Okay, but these are points that anybody can make using questions with their employer to try to dodge this bit of this small step of totalitarian behavior, and that's exactly what it is. It's not just forcing you to do something. It is forcing you to agree with a view of reality. That's the difference between mere dictators and totalitarians. Mere dictators just put their jackboot on your neck. You do what I say or else. Totalitarians require that you adopt a total view of reality that is consistent with their view or else.
Greg, these questions are so difficult. And so my heart goes out to people who have to figure these things out. As Christians, we are still working all of these things out. So I think we need to have a lot of grace for people who are trying to navigate, where is the line? Where do I go beyond what God would want me to do? Because in the things you've talked about, Greg, I think there were three different levels here. I think wearing the jersey is probably the lowest level. You are wearing the uniform of the organization. You're not necessarily personally endorsing anything. But then the next level would be listing your own pronouns, in which case you're not yet lying. You're saying what your pronouns are. You're using the pronouns of your sex. But you're also now contributing to the whole system, just because they say the reason they want everyone to list their pronouns is so that everyone feels comfortable and nobody feels singled out if they want different pronouns. So now you're contributing to that, but you're not lying yourself yet. Then the third level would be using someone's preferred pronouns that don't match their sex. So we've got three different levels here of of different sorts of compromises or different sort. Compliance with going along with someone else's view about reality. And I would say probably using the wrong pronouns is probably, I would say, out of bounds. And I know people even in the film industry who have said that's where they are going to draw the line for themselves. The other ones, I would feel uncomfortable giving my pronouns. But again, you're not yet lying about what the pronouns are. So these are all very difficult questions, Greg. I'm very thankful I don't have to deal or I haven't had to deal with any of this yet, where these things have been forced upon me just because I'm fortunate enough to work in a Christian organization. But these are difficult. I don't even know that I have the right answer. I think we're still working through all of this.
You know, just an observation about this. Those who have genuine gender dysphoria, as opposed to kind of this cultural construct called rapid onset gender dysphoria, what is it called? It's like a trend or... I'm looking for the phrase here, Amy, like cutting and it's called it's basically a trend. It's just it's a fad. Okay. That people adopt because of that. But the numbers of genuine gender dysphoria and those whose sexuality is ambiguous. What's the proper word for that now?
Intersex. Intersex.
Intersex. How do you spell it? Like INTER? Intersex? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. Intersex. Social contagion is what the phrase I was looking for. Genuine intersex, genuine gender dysphoria is extremely rare. So why is the entire culture embroiled on this? Everywhere you turn, it's happening. In fact, I was just reading a reference in a new book was just sent to me, and here is what he says with footnote: the public school curriculum in Austin, Texas, is teaching, quote, difference between biological sex and gender identity is in one's brain. And the sixth grade curriculum says, quote, being a boy, a girl, or in between is mostly about how someone feels, not their body parts. Why is this being taught in sixth grade? And I'll tell you why. It's because God established a system, male and female, he created them. And in the spiritual realm, there is a scheme, Ephesians 6, we are not ignorant of his schemes. This is a way to destroy God's purposes in the world. And the world lies in the power of the evil one, and non-believers are held captive by him to do his will. Find that in 1 John chapter 5 and also in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the last couple of verses. Okay? And so they're just the devil's minions. I know this all sounds hocus pocus, but this is solid biblical teaching. And the devil's minions are carrying on. They don't realize they're being manipulated because they're blinded. But why this ridiculous emphasis all over the country to undo God's purposes when there's virtually nobody in the country that benefits from sensitivity, so-called sensitivity regarding these issues? That's because these things, gender, sex, is at the core of God's purposes for humanity. It is in Genesis 1. It's a foundational feature of God's purpose for humankind. And that's what the devil hates, God's purposes. And he's trying to destroy it, which includes the family.
And going back to the jerseys, as you were talking, Greg, I was thinking there would be instances where I would draw the line about what jersey I would wear. For example, suppose they wanted me to wear a jersey that promoted abortion. I would not ever wear something like that. So there's probably a whole spectrum of what they're actually putting on the jerseys, even in the case of LGBTQ things. There's probably a level, you know, a rainbow is one thing. Some other slogan could be another thing. It would, I think a lot of this takes wisdom, and I would not go against my conscience. I would evaluate these things. I would also express my disagreement with the management, even if you wear it, just to say, look, this seems very divisive. Why are we wearing
something? And it's also personally, go ahead.
Why are we wearing something that will divide people? And when we are a sports team, it has nothing to do with this topic whatsoever. So I think there's a place
because
for that,
that's
too.
What they're going to call it. Because they're going to call it inclusion and unity and equity. They're going to use the words of virtue to disqualify the good. All right. And here, by the way, if people are going to make this case, and I think they should, Amy, you at least voice your concern. Here's the language you use. That deeply offends me. This hurts my feelings. Now, why? I mean, I don't think we should be all, you know, oversensitive about things and say, oh, my feelings are hurt. I'm saying that you use the language of their movement. If they say they're interested in being inclusive and sensitive and loving and, you know, be careful of other people's feelings, then you play that card. You say, but this hurts my feelings. This forces me to promote something that is completely against my value system. It may be your value system. I don't complain about that. I'm not complaining. I'm letting you guys promote what you want. I just don't want to have to promote what I think is wrong. That offends me. That hurts my feelings. So, you know, just play along with their vocabulary, because they are using the distorted rhetoric that we can begin to use on our behalf to at least say, by your own rules, you're violating my sensibilities. And this is, of course, what's wrong with this. The tolerance is always a one-way street. Hurt feelings and sensitivity and not bother is always a one-way street. It's only what they care about that needs to be protected from any so-called hurt feelings, which, by the way, just infantilizes people. It infantilizes them. Oh, the world is all about your feelings. And so everybody's got to change so your feelings are not somehow injured. Or please grow up, get a life. This is all going to implode. In fact, it already is imploding in many places because it can't be lived. You cannot have community based on this idea.
Mm-hmm.
Amy?
And one thing to keep in mind also, if enough people speak up against this or say no, or say they won't do what they're being asked to do, I think that will make a difference. So I wouldn't just assume that it's not going to matter if you refuse or you say something, because if enough people did speak up who agreed with you, they would stop. See, the thing about this is it's not even related to sports. It's just not related. There's no reason
right.
why they need to be doing this in sports or in any organization out there that isn't advocating for these things. So if enough people mm-hmm. speak out against it, we could see a difference. I think that's the only thing that will make a difference. Otherwise, why would they stop? Because they think they're benefiting from all of this. So,
by the way, there is a huge backlash right now regarding critical race theory across the political spectrum, because people see the abuse and the grotesque coercion that is involved in the promotion of critical race theory. But by the way, the critical race theory is combined also with gender and sex. These two are kind of joined at the hips. So when one is being promoted for racial reasons and justice reasons, allegedly, the LGBT crowd. And by the way, they've added a whole bunch more letters. Yesterday I learned the longer acronym, which I'm not going to adopt. But in any event, because I can't keep track of all those letters. But these guys are right in the wings. They are joined at the hips. This is another way in which critical race theory is a Trojan horse, because it's meant to, you know, it seems like it's about justice and fairness and equity and equality. And there is a distinction between equity and equality, by the way. There's another, you know, word game that's being played here. So right behind and connected to it, right in that Trojan horse, is the whole gender sexuality deal. And that's why these things are happening even in kindergarten.
Thank you, Greg. And thank you for your questions. Or actually, we only did one question. Thank you, Adam, for your question. And we would love to hear from you and get your questions. Please send them on Twitter with the hashtag STRAsk. This is Amy Hall and Greg Kokel for Stand to Reason.